Welcome to another Carlin and Lloyd Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, let's talk a little bit about the AFL. We've spoken about Port Adelaide numerous times recently. Yeah.
We haven't talked about them a lot, even though they're top of the table, because you don't like to talk about them.
I've been quite a menial.
Have you, really?
Yes.
Because any time I bring up Port Power or Port Adelaide, it's like very quickly change the subject.
Well, I suppose I'm a happier man because Central Districts have won a couple of games recently.
That's always a good thing.
It is. It is. And how are your beloved Adelaide Crows going?
They're not my beloved Adelaide Crows.
Yeah, but they've won a couple of games recently. And it's interesting because they've played a couple of Tuesday night games in September and won them both. So they must hold some type of record for the highest percentage, winning percentage.
You're going to be really thinking about this, right? Tuesday. Wow, what a record to own.
And also, these are September victories. The Crows love winning in September, don't they?
Not always. I think the last time they had a big match in September, or probably October then, like that, they didn't quite make it, did they?
Probably. Well, 2017 was the grand final, but they had to win.
Was that September, October?
It was September.
So they can't win in October, but can in September.
But they did win. They beat Greater Western Sydney, the Giants, in the preliminary final, and they absolutely walloped them and went into that 2017 grand final against Richmond as raging favourites, but they went missing and really haven't been found since.
Well, it happens, doesn't it? And you think, just what could happen if it went the other way? But that's footy for you, that's sport for you, isn't it? Like, not everyone can win, and sometimes when you're the hot favourite, it doesn't happen. The underdog gets up.
Now, you've been to several AFL games in your life, Adelaide Oval?
I've been to a few, but not many. In fact, interestingly, I did obviously go this Tuesday night, and that's what we'll get to with the Crows, but I think the last time I went was actually when Port Adelaide played Richmond in the first final back in, it was about, what, 6 years ago, 7 years ago? Because it came up on my Facebook memories.
Yeah.
Me and Nathan, my son, were there, and that was a very different game, obviously, with no COVID around, because that was a packed stadium, and so a little bit different this time.
Recently, we spoke about packed stadiums and things like that. Now, I believe they were only allowed to have about 15,000 on Tuesday.
I believe that's what they cap it at. Now, there were people all around the ground, obviously, and we had, like, you had a seat between you all. So they had, obviously, and who gets the tickets is all part of that. So I was lucky to get invited from Carmen Gaskell, who just loves her Crows. She is Crows through and through. And I actually went with also another friend of our show, Mitch Deering.
Oh, Mitch. God, he's going to listen to this show and treasure it because his name's mentioned.
He's got mentioned, so he'll be happy. But and the funny thing was that they're selling the merchandise really cheap.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
Like 70% off, stuff like that. So they were down there buying.
So what did you buy? What
did you buy? Anything? No, I'm not buying anything. Like, but I know Carmen bought a few Guernseys, and Mitch came back with a beanie on his head, Crow's beanie. So I said, come on now, you've got to actually barrack now, get up, make some noise, because he was pretty quiet, to be honest.
So what was the atmosphere like with 15,000 compared to a 50,000 crowd?
Well, last time I went to the Richmond-Port final, and that was fabulous. Like, we went into town, we met all the Port Adelaide people, we marched over, you know, coming over the bridge, and all that. I mean, that was just a build-up to the final. And then we the way that they sat there, we had a whole section with all Port people, and right next to us was full of Richmond people. And the banter between the two was just fabulous. It was really good. And before the game, and Richmond were probably, you know, they were doing okay then, but Port came out and kicked the first 7 goals in that quarter and went on to win the game. But it was funny because, like, you know, that first goal, of course, Port Power fans erupted. And the Richmond guys were still giving a fair bit back. Bang, second goal, bit of everything, still up. The Richmond guys were still up and about. Third goal,
it was just like, quiet.
That was nothing. And so that was after that. And after 7 goals straight, there was certainly nothing from them. So that was very different. There was people, like I said, all the way around the ground. There was a good atmosphere, again, like I think any AFL match. I really enjoy the build-up, you know, watching the teams come out and watching them warm up, and I take an interest in what they do, you know, from my own sort of point of view. But, it was certainly quiet. The crowd, I mean, it's certainly not the same noise level at all.
So with the Adelaide they obviously got on top early and they managed to hold sway most of the way. And they never really looked comfortable of winning the game until the last minute or two, did they?
Yeah, they had, it was like in spurts, and they'd get a bit of a run on, but they only kicked, I think, 4 points in the second quarter, and GWS kicked a few. So it was never like, oh, this is over and done with. And then they came out in the third quarter, and I made the prediction. I said, oh, they're going to kick three in a row. They kicked the first one, GWS kicked one, and then Crows got two in a row. So, and they sort of got that bit of a gap. The last quarter was really short, though. The siren's gone, and it was a relatively close game, but I would say that I felt the Crows seemed to be in control for most of the game.
You know, really for a Crows type of game, it was, I'd hate to say this, but kind of higher scoring with 8-7, because earlier this year there's been games 5-3 and games like that, so I suppose 15 goals in a game is okay?
Well, I don't go to the footy a lot, and so, but for me, it was a very, very messy game. And it, like, there's very high pressure now, isn't it? Like, so there's a lot of stoppages, a lot of tackling, and so, and then every now and then they would just get a break. The ball would get out into space, and off they go. I thought that Crow's movement into the forward line was very haphazard, as was GWS, to be honest. Like, really, the goals came from opportunities that just presented themselves rather than. You know, sometimes when you watch footy, like, you see, wow, this is really setting up, and boom, 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 you see the forward lead, bang, hit them. But a lot of the goals were just, a bit of luck. The ball bounced the right way, got a handball out, and off they went. So I did feel sorry for Tex Walker, because he did end up kicking only one goal, and he equaled Tony Modra's 440 goals for the club. But they did, he never got the ball cleanly to him. And so he was always in a contest, the ball's going over his head or dropping short, and you think the execution from both teams surprised me.
Yeah,
it wasn't that great.
It's been a hallmark of the season with the COVID-19, I suppose. The preparation for the season hasn't sort of allowed the team to get those flow-on type systems going?
Yeah, maybe. They're playing a lot of footy, aren't they? So it has been different, but... I said I haven't been to a lot of AFL footy, so I can't. I know I watched a bit on TV, but it surprised me, like I just said before, some of the decision making and the execution of skill, even when there wasn't pressure. I mean, you understand it when there's a lot of pressure, it's just move the ball as well as you can. But there were times when they were open, and both teams were open, running with the ball, and just couldn't deliver to another player.
You know, there was a lot of talk about. The Giants being, favourites because they're a top eight candidate, et cetera, et cetera. But I had a sneaky suspicion that the Crows would win this game for a couple of reasons. One, they finally broke through for their first win the week before. And then Matthew Nix, now he was involved in the coaching panel with the Giants last year, so he would know a lot of their systems. And the fact that he knew them, I reckon he was able to cut some of that off, which is probably why the game ended up being so scrappy.
Yeah, that might be the case, and that's, I guess that's part of what clubs do. They have to know the other teams, but if you've got that little bit of inside information, I know they do a lot of research, but I guess now they probably can't do the same depth because they've lost a lot of coaches, haven't they?
Yeah.
So that's probably had a big impact on how they can do their sort of pre-game preparation, I imagine.
You know, the funny thing is that a couple of weeks before they won these two games, everyone was saying, oh, the Crows have got the wooden spoon, blah, blah, blah. But now they've got two more games left against Carlton and Richmond. Carlton up in the Gold Coast, I think, and Richmond at home. They win one of those, they have a chance of getting off the bottom.
Really?
Yeah, they're only...
So North Melbourne have won three.
Yep.
And Crows have now won two, so, okay.
I mean, there's a bit of difference in the percentage, but, if North Melbourne gets a hammering and Adelaide gets a comfortable win...
So who have Adelaide got coming home?
They've got they play Carlton this week, and then they play Richmond at home in the last game.
Okay, so you don't think they're going to knock off Richmond, though, do you?
Well, no, I don't. It depends.
So Carlton's probably the one.
Yeah.
That they got a chance to knock off. I mean, Richmond are doing pretty well at the moment and getting ready for finals. You think they'd be flying?
Well, Carlton's not too bad. I mean, they had a good win on the you know, the same weekend. They came from behind, I think, to beat Sydney by a few points after being, you know, 4 or 5 goals down or something, weren't they?
Well, Carlton beat Sydney 8-9, 57-8-4, 52. So, yeah, that was a close game. What's Carlton? I have a quick look at what Carlton might have coming up. Do you know who they're playing?
No.
Obviously, Adelaide. We don't know who they got in the last game.
No, well, I don't actually follow the AFL as close as I do the SNFL, but it is interesting when it gets to the tight end of the season. You do take notice of what teams will possibly be in the grand.
But you know who is on top?
No, you'll have to
know who's on top.
No.
Why don't you say who? I mean, you know who's top. What I want to hear.
Geelong.
No, Geelong are not on tops.
Port Power.
Port are on top. Did that hurt?
No. Good on them. You know, there's nothing wrong with winning minor premierships. Port have done that many times, same as the Crows, but they've struggled to turn them into premierships. Both clubs.
Well, now it's time, isn't it?
Well, we'll see.
It's time. I mean, Brisbane are up there, 48 points, and so are Port, and Geelong are playing very well. So it's going to be a pretty tight finish, I imagine.
Yeah. Look, getting back to that, the game against the Giants, Shane McAdam kicked a couple of goals. Now, I believe that's Gilbert McAdam's nephew. He played for Sturt. I remember watching Sturt play for Sturt, I think it was last season or the season before, and he sort of moves a little bit like Gilbert. He's got some of the similar type skills.
Yeah, he has, and he took some good marks, and he's not a big guy, so he did get knocked around a little bit, and you think, okay, you might want to just get a little bit of muscle on you, but he certainly can fly in the pack, and he's like he moves around the ground very well, so he certainly made a big difference, and you could see that's the type of play in the way maybe games are played now, where it is that scrappy game, the ball's coming to ground a lot. You want those players that are quick on the ground, can get the ball, you know, clean with the ball, and have a bit of creativity about them so they can. And the other one that impressed me was Himmelberg.
Yeah.
Now, he took some really strong marks, hit 2 goals as well, and he was a big difference up in the forward line and just around the ground. Like, again, a big player, big tall guy, and he did some really good work, I thought. So for a younger guy too, that was promising to have a good big guys, and then some other players, obviously like McAdam, who can really come rove off the pack and get the ball and go.
Now, one player that changed his position, Roy Laird normally plays like half back. He was in the middle and he absolutely dominated. He had a really good game. It reminded me a little bit about, you know, Andrew McLeod used to be a half back and come onto the ball and play in the middle and one helped win those 2 grand finals for the Crows back in the day, but how often do you see a creative backline player go into the middle and have such a big impact?
Well, I don't know. How often do you? I mean, again, I'm not an expert on footy, but it's if you can, if you got that. I mean, well, back in the day, what was it called? Are you like a utility player? Is that a real thing? Remember a utility player?
Yeah.
They were sort of the guys that could do a bit of everything.
Yeah, forward,
you know, like
back.
They could stick, yeah. Like, coach, I want you to do this, I want you to do that.
You know, to be honest with you, watching a game of footy sometimes, you can't work out who's playing where, because how often do you see all the players within 50 metres of each other at one end of the ground or the other?
Well, that was what I found interesting. I was sort of watching, because you get sucked into the play, but then I'd sort of sometimes want to watch what's going on different parts of the field. But, of course, every time there's a goal, everyone sort of gets to their spots and you go, okay, well, there's some who's on the wing and who's playing here and there, but you're right, once the siren's gone, it's all the balls up in the air, off you go.
You know, just an observation, Central District played Norwood on the weekend, on this particular same weekend as the Crows, and they actually won. They won by 13 points, but they did something which I've been craving for. John Butcher was left in the forward 50 by himself. A Norwood player picked him up, obviously. He kicked 5 goals and was best on ground.
So
and
just one-on-one on the ball.
Yeah,
and is that Pagan's paddock?
Well,
is that back in the day?
Well, kind of, but the point is that I've been craving for something like that. I ask the question so often, why don't we have someone up forward? Because they have to put a defender on him. And the amount of times I see Central's coming out of defence with the ball and they got no one to kick to.
Yeah.
Now, he dominated. He got 5 goals. He sort of like played a part in other goals as well. And he was a real worry for Norwood, and they ended up double teaming him. But as a consequence, by double teaming him, it allowed other players to sort of gain confidence. And I loved it. I actually enjoyed watching an SNFL game thoroughly for the whole game because they did something different. Yay!
Good on them. Well done. Made a difference.
Anyway,
we'll go Crows, hey? Get off the bottom. Let's see if Crows can finish second to bottom.
Yeah, well, we can only live in hope, and good luck to your power. So ends another Carl Unlay Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.